This puzzled me a little, so I drew him on. "Then you command life. You are a god, I suppose." He smiled with an ineffably benign superiority. "Oh, no! Far be it from me to arrogate to myself the attributes of the deity. I am not even concerned in his especially spiritual doings. If I may state my intellectual position, I am, so far as concerns things purely terrestrial, somewhat in the position which Enoch occupied spiritually." This was a poser to me. I could not at the moment recall Enoch's appositeness, so I had to ask a simple question, though I felt that by so doing I was lowering myself in the eyes of the lunatic. "And why with Enoch?"
"Because he walked with God."
I couldn't see the analogy, but didn't like to admit it. So I harked back to what he had denied. "So you don't care about life, and you don't want souls. Why not?" I put my question quickly and somewhat sternly, and on purpose, to disconcert him. The effort succeeded. For an instant, he unconsciously relapsed into his old servile manner, bent low before me, and actually fawned upon me as he replied,
"I don't want any souls. Indeed, indeed, I don't. I couldn't use them if I had them. They would be no manner of use to me. I couldn't eat them, or—"
He suddenly stopped, and the old cunning look spread over his face like a windsweep on the surface of the water.
"And, Doctor, as to life, what is it, after all, when you've got all you require, and you know that you will never want, that is all? I have friends, good friends, like you, Dr. Seward."
This was said with a leer of inexpressible cunning.
"I know that I shall never lack the means of life."
I think that through the cloudiness of his insanity, he saw some antagonism in me, for he at once fell back on the last refuge of such as he, a dogged silence. After a short time, I saw that for the present it was useless to speak to him. He was sulky, and so I came away.